But it actually took a number of years before I really started to recognize the fact that, you know, writing in itself, even if you're writing fiction and it's a made-up world, it is still ultimately a form of self-therapy.
Today we talk about that and so much more with author Laura Zimmerman. Welcome to A Writer's Day Podcast. A homeschooling mom to three daughters, a doting wife to one husband. She lives in a suburb of beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. Besides writing, she is passionate about loving Jesus. Yay! Singing loudly, she was a music therapy major. Buying LuLaRoe and pretending to do yoga. I've been there. I noticed that she is a Star Wars fan. Oh, yeah. Loves to read science fiction and fantasy, but here's what intrigues me the most. She also writes horror. Wow, that's so cool. So welcome to the podcast, author Laura Zimmerman.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
My pleasure. This is such an honor. You are my first author interview on my new podcast. I'm so excited. Now, so, I am an artist, and I'm big into using fine arts as therapy. So, when I read that you were, you know, a music therapy major, I thought that was really cool because I was going to do fine arts as part of my doctorate dissertation.
Okay.
Not too long ago. So, that is really cool.
Yeah.
That you consider music to be therapeutic too.
Yes, yes. And actually, when I had gone to school for music therapy, you know, that was over 20 years ago. And so that was really kind of a new thing, a new market that was just starting out. And I was kind of part of the ground level of students. And so it was really neat for me just to be able to explore that and to see, you know, how people can connect to just kind of communicate with one another through art, which I'm sure you've discovered as well through your visual arts, that people can not only express themselves, but really connect with one another and communicate in that way.
Absolutely. It helped me when I was going through great loss. Doing art was so therapeutic for me. I took a whole month off from pretty much life and just created art. And that helped me get over extreme loss. So as a mental health person, I'm going back for a second master's degree in mental health. So the arts, you know, I stress that so much for people that the arts can help with mental health issues. So that really spoke to me when I saw that on your blog information page.
Yeah.
So we have another connection.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that wholeheartedly. And my middle daughter actually would like to go to college to be a visual artist. And so maybe I'll have to connect you with her. She might have some questions for you.
Oh, absolutely. So what about writing? Do you find that writing is therapeutic for you too?
Yes, absolutely. I didn't necessarily start out, you know, purposefully in that way, saying, oh, I'm going to sit down and journal and I'm going to, you know, write out my thoughts, my feelings. You know, throughout the years, it's more so just stories have come to me and I've wanted to kind of get them out of my head. So I've written them down, and some of them are shorter stories and some of them are longer, like full length novels. But it actually took a number of years before I really started to recognize the fact that, you know, writing in itself, even if you're writing fiction and it's a made-up world, it is still ultimately a form of self-therapy. I recognize that there were similar themes throughout each of my stories or my books that I write, and I find that a lot of the characters shared many of the same, not necessarily characteristics as me, but would kind of struggle, I guess, with the same struggles that I deal with. And I realized, you know, this is really me kind of working things out on paper. And so, you know, I just, once I recognized that, I think I was drawn more towards it. And I found in the past I did it a little bit more as a hobby. And then when I discovered, you know what, this is actually kind of a form of therapy for me. I actually found if I go too many days without writing, even if it's something as simple as a 300 word flash fiction story, you know, if I go too long without writing, I actually start to get frustrated. So I rely heavily now on my writing, really, as you said, just to kind of stay sane, you know, stay in my right mind. So
yes, I completely agree about what you're talking about. Writing for me too is therapeutic. So let me transition then to how did you become a writer? When did you first realize I'm going to be a writer?
It's interesting because I'm a little bit like you in that, you know, I've always been drawn to one of the arts. And so when I was really young, I wanted to be a visual artist, and then it kind of moved to wanting to be an actress and then a musician. And, you know, I've always kind of had that creative spirit. But throughout the years, I've always written. That's one thing I've done just because, like I said, I've always had these stories. Mm-hmm. And as I was saying before, you know, I did always look at it as a hobby. I mean, I never would have considered when I was in college. I mean, I took a creative writing class, but I still didn't look at it as, oh, I could do something with this, you know, other than it just being a hobby. And so it was about 2013 that my husband was the one who pointed out to me that I spent a lot of time writing my stories and just kind of spending some time alone, and everything stays on my computer. And he really encouraged me to consider sharing what I've written with others. Cause he said, you know, maybe there's something that you've written that will either connect with someone, or maybe it'll have meaning to them that will help validate something in their life that they need. Mm. And I really hadn't considered it before then. And I actually laughed at him. And he even went so far as to offer to make a website for me. He said, I'll do that for you.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, he really did. And so it really was at that point that I started to realize I could and should take it seriously. And then even beyond then, I just wasn't sure, you know, people would say, I still referred to it as a hobby. You know, people would say, what do you do? Oh, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And sometimes I write, you know, it was kind of that type of thing.
Yeah.
And it took a few years after that, you know, before I finally said, you know, I stay at home with my children and I school them, and I am also a writer.
Very nice.
So, yeah, it hasn't been very long that I've been able to say that, but I'm happy to say it now. So
that's cool. I know. I was the same way too. And aren't husbands great? They're so supportive on these, our wacky journeys, you know?
Yes. Our crazy ideas, right?
Exactly. That's so cool. So, yeah. So tell me a little bit about, how you came to be represented by Heartline and become published.
Yeah. Heartline was actually kind of a funny story, in that I'd gone to a writer's conference prepared to pitch to someone in Heartline that did represent fiction. And at the last minute, he actually canceled and couldn't come. And so I actually sat down with Joyce, and she does not represent fantasy fiction. And I just sat down and said, I know you're not the person I'm supposed to talk to, but I don't know who else to talk to. I signed up for this appointment. So she was so kind, and she took all my information and said, you know what, I will pass it along to, you know, one of the guys that does the fantasy section. And so, you know, it was kind of interesting because everyone talks about going to, you know, the conferences and pitching to an agent, you know, and the funny thing is I sort of didn't. I met with someone, but it ultimately ended up being through email that I connected with Kyle Young and started talking to him. And soon after I communicated with him, he said he'd like to have me join his team. And I was really excited about that. And then, you know, from there, you know, the next few conferences that I went to, I did start to pitch to some of the publishers there, because I think it's a little bit of a misconception. I think people think as soon as you get an agent, you don't have to ever worry again about any of the publishing companies. But as Kyle, you know, as I started to kind of learn under him, you know, he explained, you know, hey, he does have a job to do as an agent. And he absolutely can send all the proposals out and go ahead and shop, you know, his clients' books, and that's great. But on the flip side, as a writer, if I'm going to be at a conference and there happens to be a publisher there, or an acquisitions editor, I should absolutely take that time and sit down with them and talk to them, because they're a lot more likely, an editor is a lot more likely to want to sign you when they meet you and they really get a feel for who you are and whether they can work with you on a personal level. And so I was actually really excited to be able to sit down and start pitching to some of the acquisitions editors, and which I did. And it is a matter of fact, signing with L2 with Keen ended up being, again, kind of like out of the blue. I don't seem to do things in the way that they're supposed to be done, I guess.
Really? What happened?
I had been to the Realm Makers Conference in the summer of 2017, and I had pitched to L2, and they were, I'd spoken with Michelle and Gibran, and they were both wonderful ladies, and I had a great time, and it just so happened that they did not acquire the manuscript that I pitched to them at that time. And so when I went back in 2018, I thought I saw a whole bunch of brand new publishing companies that were going to be represented. And I got excited and I thought, well, I'm going to sign up with a whole bunch of people that I've never talked to before. And I didn't even sign up to pitch to L2. And so I sat down with Rachel with Little Lamb Books, and she's listening to me and she says, you know, I love this. This is so great. It was, and I was pitching Keen, you know,
yeah.
And she said, this is absolutely not going to work for our company though.
Oh, she said, no.
You know who pops in my mind? She said, Michelle with L2. I was just talking to her and I swear she said that she was looking for something like this. And she said, you've got to go over to her. And I said, I don't have any more appointments open. She's filled. How am I supposed to pitch to her? And she said, oh, just grab her at dinner one night.
Wow.
So I grabbed her and I felt, you know, real nervous because it's not the formal.
Sure.
You know, it's the elevator pitch type thing.
Sure.
And she actually, she was so kind. And she said, you know what? Rachel already told me that you were going to be coming to me.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, she said, I already heard about it and I would love to see it on paper. And so go ahead and have Kyle send the proposal. And so, again, it was kind of out of the box, out of the ordinary, but it worked out really
That's
well.
That's amazing, because I don't think a lot of people realize how, I mean, you are really vulnerable at these things. And to just go up to a total stranger and start pitching them your idea, people don't understand the nerve and the guts it takes to do that. But the most of all, it takes passion and belief in your story.
Yeah.
And so they knew to be able to do something like that, you must really believe in your story. That is so cool.
It's true. Yeah.
So we hear all the time at conferences, oh, you have to pitch, you have to pitch. And so that's a good story for us to share to hopeful writers out there, that it can happen. You know, if you have a good pitch, if you believe in your story, it can happen. So I'm going to talk
now,
I want to talk now a little bit about your story, Keen.
Yeah.
And it comes out next week, doesn't it?
It does, on Tuesday.
Woohoo! That's awesome. And the cover is just beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I love it too. I was super excited about it.
Yeah. So you got L2. So tell me, are you happy with this publisher?
Absolutely. I really am. I was still very scared, even though Michelle had been so kind and everything had gone real smoothly as far as, you know, she received the proposal, wrote back and said, wow, I'd love to read the full manuscript. And I mean, everything was moving along. I was still really nervous because I've never done anything like this before.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't know the process, to be honest. And so she and her whole team have been so, so kind about just answering all of my questions. I've had a lot of questions. and then, you know, sometimes she's kind of said something to me or asked for something and I've totally misunderstood. And she's just been so nice about everything. And I just really appreciate that. And so she's really walked through this whole process with me and made me feel at home and I feel confident. And I can't say that I necessarily feel like I know everything now, because I know that, of course, every every book and every situation is going to be different. You know, there's going to be something that's different about it. But for this process of this first book, I feel like it went really smoothly. And I really quite enjoyed working with her. And she ended up being the actual editor of the book. And, you know, I felt like I kind of was on the same wavelength as she was, as far as what, you know, kind of the some of the bigger changes, and then even some of the smaller changes that she was asking for, I wholeheartedly agreed with. And so we really didn't have a whole lot of friction as far as me being, you know, uncomfortable with any of the changes that they wanted to make. And I feel like the final product is the best that it could be. So yeah, I'm very excited to share the book on Tuesday.
That's great, you know, because having that relationship with your publisher is essential. And mm-hmm. So what is it that L2 does for you? Do they handle marketing, or do you have to do that on your own, or what?
It's definitely a partnership. I appreciate them because they've done a fantastic job as far as, obviously they did help with some of the developmental edits and then the full edits. And then they provide the cover for the book. And so I did have to fill out a form that kind of gave an idea of some of the things I wanted to see on the cover. But then ultimately, I checked the box that said I give the L2 creative team, you know, full, you know, free reign over the cover. So, but yeah. I'm very happy with it. So
it's beautiful. I mean, I'm not just saying that. I see there's a lot of covers out there that I look and I'm thinking, what were they thinking? But this one,
I was really excited to see it. So they provided the cover, and then, they also did they organized and, the whole cover reveal. So they organized that advertising and trying to get some other writers and authors to help with the cover reveal. And then the L2L2 team also then organized the entire blog tour, which is happening right now. And if you want to visit any of the websites that we've already been to or going to, you can actually just find that on the L2 website.
Absolutely. And you can also go to Laura Zimmerman's Facebook page, her author page. Go ahead.
Yes, no, you're right. And so they organized that. And then the big thing that's also coming up is, the book release is on Tuesday, which is the 9th. And then 2 days later on the 11th, they're throwing a Facebook release party. And so all of those things were done by L2L2. And I am, again, I'm so thankful for that, because I don't know what I'm doing here as a first time published author.
Yeah.
And so I'm very appreciative of that. On the flip side, of course, I do need to do as much marketing and social media and getting out there as I can, because it is a partnership. And so Michelle and Jabron and some of the others with the team have been kind of checking in with me and just checking to see what plans I've had as far as how I'm going to be, which platforms of social media I'll be on, and what kind of things I'm going to do. So I'm actually going to have a local book release party here in my town here in North Carolina, and I'm currently talking to some bookstores to try and set up some more book signings in the near future. And so it's definitely a joint venture, I would say, as far as the marketing goes with them.
That's terrific, because not a lot of smaller publishing houses are capable of doing all that. So that was impressive to me when I did a little bit of research on them and looking at your cover and your blog tour and everything. That was really impressive to me. So anybody listening, if you write sci-fi and YA or anything that L2L is looking for right now, it seems to me that they really do take care of their writers. So that's awesome.
They do. Yeah, I would agree with that.
So let's talk about Keen. Tell me about the story. What is this amazing book about?
This is a loaded question, right?
Yeah. Give me that quick elevator pitch. No, just kidding.
I know. Maybe not too quick. I'll expand a little. It's a contemporary YA fantasy. It is about, the main character's name is Kane. I know that it is spelled weird and people kind of look at it and think, well, how is that? But I do, in the first chapter, I make sure that I explain how to say her name.
Oh, okay.
No, that's fine. So her name is Kane. The book is named Keen, and I know they sound very similar.
There's
a story behind that, but I can tell that in a minute. But Kane is half fairy and half human. She is a banshee. She and her father are the only ones that know her secret. And at night, her banshee song awakes, and she roams the streets, and she sings her song to those that are going to die. It may be within the next few minutes. It could be within hours or days. She doesn't know, and she doesn't know the people. She just sings to them. And so she and her father have carried the secret since she was born, and each time anyone finds out about it, they have to move. And so this has made her very much a loner and an outsider. And she actually considers her banshee song a curse. And so when we meet Cain in the first chapter, this is where she is emotionally. She believes that she is cursed. And so she generally doesn't have any friends wherever she goes. And so she comes to a brand new high school, West Lincoln High, and is surprised to find that she actually stumbles into a few friendships, which start the ball rolling as far as the change that she's going to go through. But ultimately, what she discovers is that her banshee song goes a little crazy, and it starts to come out during the day, and it starts to come out too often or not often enough, and she's trying to pinpoint what's going on. And in the midst of her kind of adjusting to this new life at school and friends and all this and that, she stumbles upon the fact that there is a fellow student known only as the Unseelie Prince. That is what he calls himself, and he starts to contact her, and he makes it clear that he has, let's just say, not good intentions, and that he plans to use her banshee song for his own plans, for his own purposes. Okay. And so that is what the basic, you know, the basis of the story. That's what gets it going. And so, yeah, that's the expanded pitch right there. You got a little bit more. So, but that's the basis of the story.
I was listening to K.M. Weiland's blog the other day. She's a writer and blogger and podcaster. So I was listening to her podcast, and she was asking writers, her listeners, what is the challenge about writing for today's modern audience? She was asking us, and I thought, wow, that's a terrific question. So you write YA.
Yeah.
What is the challenge that you find about writing for the modern YA audience?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest challenge is the rate in which everything is moving as far as technology goes. So first of all, I mean, the trends that change literally on almost on a monthly basis for the young people in our country. So not just the platforms, because it would be too much for me to say a specific platform. Like if I were to write in my book, you know, about Instagram or something like that, and then, you know, the month that the book is published and that app suddenly is you know, gone, then that's not going to make, it's not going to be relevant, right, to the audience anymore. So I have to be able to talk about technology and make it seem as if my, you know, 21st century teens are using it, but then without getting too specific. And it's the same thing, you know, with their slang. It's really difficult to come up with wording that sounds young, that sounds like teenagers are speaking, but then not use something that's current, because within a couple months it's going to be gone and they're not going to be speaking like that anymore. And of course, you know, our books want to be able to be on the shelves not just for a few months, but for years and years, and have, you know, someone in that audience to be able to pick it up and still be able to understand it and identify with it. So for me, I think that that's the hardest part of writing for the younger audience today.
That is so true, because I wrote a book for middle grade readers and was tempted to keep, you know, have some of the slang and everything. I kept some of the basics, like dude, you know, they still
and
say
cool.
that.
I mean,
and
cool's
cool.
Not gonna go
yeah,
on, right?
Exactly. And I mentioned YouTubers because that's been popular for about 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah.
And things like that. But you're right. I didn't go into specific. I just said social media. Yeah. I didn't name any of the specific apps because you're right. They are forever changing. They're always changing. The kids started off on Facebook and then whoop, they were gone. Then they went to Snapchat, and now Snapchat's got some issues with it. So where are they going to go next? You know?
I know. And especially even with like all these platforms selling to one another, you know, cause I think Facebook now owns Instagram, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. And then, yeah.
So it was like when we had a outage with Facebook the other day, which also took Instagram out, and everything's so connected. It's like my head is spinning. So.
That's true. That is quite a challenge. I think you hit it right on the head. Technology, yeah. And making sure that the language is something that your readers, they won't cringe or roll their eyes, you know, and say, "Who is this that wrote this book?"
Yep, exactly.
That's intriguing. Okay, good. All right, so tell me a little bit about your writing process. Are you an outliner or a seat of your pants person?
Right. So I used to be an outliner. I mean, I was very religious about plotting my stories to the point that I would have, you know, a 30-page outline.
Wow.
I know. I did all the research, you know. And then I believe it was somewhere around 2016, I kind of first heard the term pantser, and I thought, what is that? You know, and I looked into it, and I thought, writing without planning anything? Is that even possible?
Exactly, so, right?
I wanted to try it, you know, so I came up with this, I actually had a dream, now that I think about it, it was a dream, and it was a crazy idea, and I thought, I'm going to sit down and write this, and I had no idea where the plot was going, and I started writing chapter after chapter, and I actually was bold enough, as you're gonna laugh, I was sending it to one of my best friends every day. I'd send her a new chapter, and she finally said to me, wow, I really like your story, it's cool, but where is it going?
Oh yeah.
And I realized, wow, there's no plot whatsoever. And so, which was fine, because, you know, this was an exercise for me. This was kind of the first time I'd ever done this. So I started to allow myself to grab, but I will say that I loved every minute of writing like that, because I realized my creativity just, it was like an open book, you know. It just flowed. I was so excited every time to sit down and write. So I realized, okay, I need to pull back a little. So let's see what I can do here. And so it took me a couple years to sort of hone it a little bit. But I pulled back to the point where I now call myself a plantser.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that it's just going to be easier in the long run if I do some outlining. And it needs to be the basic plot. It needs to be the main themes, the main character arcs. You know, I've got to have some of those real main points to hit.
Sure, you've got to have structure, right?
Yeah, that turning point one, turning point two, you know, that kind of plot out the acts. And then, but I don't put it in such stone that it can't be moved around. And so then that does allow me to be able to have that creativity just to kind of flow. And I feel better about it. And as a matter of fact, it just happened the other day. I had this loose outline of what I'm doing, and there was a main point of information that I wanted the main character to learn. You know, I was thinking it would be at the very end after the climax. And as I was writing, it just kind of flowed that it fit in right before the climax. And I went with it, and it was something I had not even planned at all. You know, it was a total surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I stepped back and looked at it, I thought, wow, this fits way better than where I put it. And so I definitely would say I'm smack in between, you know, a plotter and a pantser, and I like it that way. And I think for me, like I said, it doesn't kind of squelch my creativity. But then on the flip side, it also doesn't make for a ton of revisions and rewrites at the end, because I do have a very good structure to it. So that's where I fall in for right now. It could be different a year from now.
Yeah.
But right now, that's what I do.
And me too. And I think a lot of writers out there that I've spoken to anyway, feel that, oh no, if I outline, then that means I have to stick with my outline, and I want freedom to move around and everything. And no, that's not true. An outline helps you organize what's inside your head, you know?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
When I taught writing, I think that was one of the hardest parts to teach to my students, was mm-hmm. to take what's inside your head and organize it so that it has a logical structure, a logical flow. Because think about who we are and who our audiences are. We are so used to that structure. We see it everywhere in on television shows, in movies, in plays, and even in some music. Even a song will have an intro, the main part, and then a closure. You know, we just see structure everywhere. So
right.
I really feel that just because you outline, you're right. Just because you outline doesn't mean you can't be flexible and move around, but an outline gets you that basic structure.
Yeah, to where you need to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, terrific. I just wanted to end touching back on where we started, and that was writing as therapy, writing that can be therapeutic. And like you, I'm working on a story right now where the main character is kind of working through some things that I myself worked through. And it's been very therapeutic for me to deal with some issues that I have working through my protagonist. So I think that's great that you also noticed that when you were developing your character, that mm-hmm. she was going through some things that maybe mirrored your own.
You know, it's interesting because I've had this question asked about, you know, who did I base Kane, the main character Kane, on? And so my initial response is, well, I used my daughter, one of my daughters, who is definitely an introvert, kind of has some issues that she deals with as far as depression, not feeling like she belongs, that type of thing. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh yeah, I'm basing this on someone, you know, I know. But you know, when I got to the end of the novel and I'm really looking at all the themes and everything, it comes out so strongly in so many of my stories. And again, with this one, this theme of the main character struggles with identity and belonging. And, you know, that is one of the main things that I know personally that I've struggled with my whole life. It's one of the main kind of, I guess you could say, things that I focus on as far as my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone kind of has their thing that they, favorite verses or whatever, and things that they kind of come to God with over and over again.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
For me, it's always been a daily reminder of God. You know, my identity is in you, you alone, and not the world around
mm-hmm.
me. You know? And knowing that my purpose is, you know, what is being a child of God, and who I am is not, I happen to have the role of a mother and a wife and the role of being an educator to them and a writer, but who I am truly in my core, I'm a child of God. Mm-hmm. I belong to God. And so, that just keeps, you know, I feel like sometimes when I look back at my writing, I feel like it's screaming because I see
yeah.
it so much. Don't mean to do that. I really don't set out to do that. I think that maybe I'm developing these characters based on maybe pulling one or two or three people together and kind of creating the personalities. But ultimately, it really is the thing that I am constantly working through.
Absolutely. It's a theme that
yeah.
we Christians, we can't avoid because it's in us. So it will yeah. inevitably come out in our writing, whether we're doing it or, you know, consciously or not. It'll
yeah.
come out.
Yes, absolutely. So once again, here's another book where the main character is trying to find her identity. But you know what? This is me, you know? And so I love it. And I love that even though maybe it takes me time to see it, I can now in this, you know, in this instance, be able to share with people. And then in other conversations and other interviews, I can share this. And so this book that I wrote, you know, people say, oh, is, you know, you're a Christian author. Yes, I'm a Christian author. And this happens to be a Christian publisher. I did not set out to write a Christian book necessarily. So
sure.
It's not a, you know, profoundly Christian novel where they talk about God or Jesus or anything like that.
Sure, yeah.
But you're going to see a lot of God threads sewn throughout the whole thing. Because exactly. I can't get away from it. You know?
And some people might say, oh, Christian book, Christian author, there's going to be, you know, the gospel message, there's going to be a redemption scene, you know, falling down on their knees. And that's not always necessarily true. Those books are out there and they're awesome. But just because it's Christian fiction doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have those scenes. That it could be a science fiction, it could be speculative, and it could still have those themes of redemption and salvation and deliverance and, you know, repentance, all of that. Weaved throughout the story, and that's we want that message to come through loud and clear to our readers.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. And that's important. That's part of the reason why we write. I call this podcast A Writer's Day, because a writer's day is so different than other people's day. Because we are constantly thinking of the next story to write, or we're thinking of the current story that we're writing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we could be watching a movie, listening to a song, and writing scenes inside of our head while we're driving. It's just constant.
It is.
And that's what I wanted to share with our listeners. Yeah, that your book, although it may be done, it's book one in a series, and so you are still constantly working on what's going to happen next. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. I could, you know, I had the question asked, how many books do you have planned for the series? And I, right now, have three, and I'm working on book two, and it's the first draft is almost completed. And I have, as we said before, I've got the third one, the outline, you know, loosely plotted. I have the idea of exactly where this is going. And then I even have at least one novella, you know, I have the plan in my head.
Oh, good.
But I'm not going to say to anyone, oh, it's a trilogy with a novella, because I can't do that, really.
Sure.
Because my mind is always going to be kind of worrying and going. And yeah, a couple more novellas could pop up. Another book or set of books or what, you know, could pop up from this universe, and I don't know what's going to happen. And because, yeah, I will never be able to turn my brain off to the stories. And if it's working and the stories are coming and they're flowing, then I'm not gonna just walk away and say, nope, I'm sorry, that's it, you guys only get three books.
Exactly. You want it to just keep it alive in the readers' minds. And I've had people come up to me and say, so, are you still writing? And I just roll my eyes and I say, always. I always have another story in the wings.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, that's great. Well, I thank you so much for your willingness to come and share with me and my listeners about your writing journey, your writing process, and just giving us a little glimpse into who you are. And so your book, Keen, is released next week, next Tuesday, July 9th, through L2 Publishing. And I'm sure it's going to be available on Amazon and all the, you know, Barnes & Noble and all that, correct?
It is. It's on Amazon and then BarnesandNoble.com in ebook and paperback form. And so that also opens it up to a couple others, I guess, like Nook and...
That's right. Kindle and all that. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the Walmart ebook version is.
I forget too. Yeah.
Out of my head, but that one. So L2 website does have all of those listed, all the places that it's available. So, but thank you very much for having me. This was wonderful to be able to talk to you. I had such a good time, especially people just connecting with the arts and the therapy. And
oh, good. Yeah. Awesome. Me too. And for more information about Laura Zimmerman, please visit her beautifully designed blog at lauralzimmerman.wordpress.com. And you have to type in lauralzimmerman.wordpress.com, as I found out. So please, you'll see more information about Keen and her blog tour that's happening right now. Oh, how exciting is that?
Yes, thank you. I'm very excited.
Yeah, this is amazing. Well, again, I thank you for your willingness to share with us on my podcast. And definitely keep in touch when those other books come out. We'll pick up where we left off.
I will.
And
yes.
Like I always tell my listeners, above all, just keep writing.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today with author Laura Zimmerman. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about writing. And I look forward to our next episode of A Writer's Day podcast. Thank you. God bless.